It's good to have anointed people around. Hallelujah. I just want to, you guys put your hands up. You're in the ministry. Can you come forward? Just want to pray for you as well. Where's the other? Tim, come on. All right. Can I have some of the prayer team as well? Let me just ask you guys. I know Tim. Tim is a friend of mine. We've been a prayer covenant with him. And what's your name?
Bob.
Where are you from?
From originally from the States. The Lord called our family up from Texas, primarily for revival and awakening at McMaster. And we've been there for 8 years now.
All right. Wonderful. We're going to pray for you. Okay. Are you married? You have children over here?
No, they're not here.
Just you? All right. You've been released, blessed to be here tonight by your wife and kids. You have a wonderful wife.
Yes, I do.
Good. All right. Let's stretch your hand.
What's your name? Bob.
Bob. Let's pray for Bob. Pray for revival. Pray for this land that he lives in. But Father, we bless his feet, Father, to carry the gospel, Father, where you ask him to stood and to be firm and shall not be moved, God. Everything, every wind, everything that tried to move him away from the destiny, from the place that you want him to stand, Father, he will not be shaken, Father. And I pray also, Father, that deep inside, Father, in his soul, in his spirit, that there's a strong anointing in him, Father, that is unshakable, Father. That his faith will stand in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father. We bless the calling and the destiny and the presence of God in his life. As he seek your face, as he move in the presence of your Holy Spirit, as he's been led, Father, to go out and preach this wonderful gospel of Jesus Christ into this lost, dying world, God. Father, let it come. Let the anointing, Father, fill him up. Fill him up. Fill him up. Father, we say you turn the tide. You turn it around, Father. We bless him with victory. Victory in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come, Holy Spirit. All right. Tim, what's going on?
life in general, or? Well, we're just back. We're over in China. We live there. That's our home. But we're back here for a few months. It's been a really tough year. This past year, there's been some stuff. There's been persecution and a couple of miscarriages and that my wife went through. She's not able to come here today. She's just has some other health issues tonight. If you could just pray for her, please. And just that these things will be resolved. Yeah, that would be awesome. Thank you.
All right. We are in a, like Tim said, he's in a tough place and in his ministry and in his, and let's stretch your hands. We want to pray for Tim's wife, Samantha, as well. Father, we pray, Father, that we bless, Father, what has been sown in 2010 that the enemy will not steal, take away, Father God. Wow, Shandai. Father, we see faithfulness in this man's life, Father. Actually, in his wife, this couple, Father, we see faithfulness. They've been faithful and faithful and faithful, and they don't want to let go. The things you have given them, God. When, Father, we speak that scriptures, Father, those who sow in tears will reap in joy. But they will see the harvest come. And, Father, we bless them with multitude of harvests. A hundredfold return into their lives. We give you thanks, God. We give you praise. And we release him, Father. We release him from anything that kind of tried to slow him down, Father. We say, Father, there's no slowing down, God. There's no slowing down. There's going to be full force, God. Yes, Lord. Father, we also pray for prayer supports around their life and ministry. In Jesus' name, God, that you will meet all their needs. All their needs. Father, that you will meet them in your glorious riches. Everybody say, amen. Okay. Wow. I was asking the band to do one more song, but that's okay. We have a wonderful band, I'm telling you. Worship team is great. Actually, I know Jason did a song, but tonight's going to be a good night. How do you know that song? He turned this into a Christian song, but tonight got to be good night. And it's tonight's a good night, amen? Okay, how many of you, I just want to feel like, just share a little bit from my heart what the Holy Spirit's been brooding and pumping into my mind, my spirit, my soul. And I pray that tonight is going to be a night of understanding more what God is saying to your life as well. How many feel like 2010 was a tough year? Right. Okay. And a lot of people, maybe you did not realize it, but... Okay, by the way, my name is John Tanya. I have to... I'm one of the associate pastors who've never seen me before. Any first-time visitors? Yeah. Bob, you're first time. Anybody else? Yes, welcome. Christine, your friend is here. Do I know her? No? All right. Welcome here tonight, and welcome. Where are you from? Italy. I can only say good morning. I don't know how to say good night. I don't want to say buongiorno when it's in nighttime. Buenas, that's Spanish. Buenas noches, that's Spanish. Buena noche? Note. See, I need to brush. Where are you from? Brazil. Hey, Portuguese. Brazilian. Welcome. All right. Those who are watching on the internet, we just want to welcome you as well. We hope you're enjoying, have a good time worshiping with us as well. Okay. If you have your Bible, I want you to turn to me to James chapter 1. Father, bless the scriptures we're about to read tonight. Let it become alive in our soul, in our spirit, God. All right. I'm going to read from verse 1. James 1, verse 1. It looked like the Lord turned everything back to 1 this year. Did you notice that? This year is almost God turned every clock to 1. This year starts with 0, 1, 1, 11, 1. And Tuesday it was 1, 11, 11. And I remember when it was January 1st, there's a lot of things was into 1. Even our weather was 10 degrees, 1-0. Our Canadian dollar was a dollar at par to the U.S. was 1. The calendar was 1-0-1-1-1. It's like this year God turned everything back into the beginning again. It's a new, like, we know that some people are getting this favor. It's a new beginning. And I believe this year it is a new beginning. It's something new that God is doing. When God is doing something new, we have to understand it's a lot of sign is right now when you look around, you see birds falling from the sky, dead by the thousand. You see fish is dying, and scientists don't understand what is happening. You see flood in different places. Even in Brazil, there's flooding. And it's almost like the sign of, there's a plague, but not about in the days of Moses, but it's almost similar to in the spiritual realm that God is about to bring forth us into the promised land, into the bigger picture that what he has planned for us. But 2010 was very crucial. It was a very important year. All right, if you have James chapter 1, let's read this, say this. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nation, greetings. Verse 2, consider it pure joy, My brothers, whenever you face trial of many kind, because you know that the testing of your faith develop perseverance. And perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. 2001 was a year of testing and trials. Without realizing it, you've been tested. And sometimes we don't understand it. Why is this happening? Why is that happening? Because God is testing us. And every testing that God brings into our life, if we pass the test, the Bible says we conquer, and then there's a promotion. And this year is a year of promotion. There's so many different kind of tests we go through. There's a test of being single. There's a test of being faithful. There's a marriage test. There's a test of honoring. There's been a test of trusting. There's a test of being faithful. What kind of test you've been going through that God has put before you? One test that you probably don't realize, but when God gives you helper, and on a lot of time we ask God to help us, and God help us, but we don't understand it. Let me give you an example that when God looked at Adam, Adam was faithful to God. He done everything. He called every animal. He gave them names. And God said, it's not good for man to be alone. And God did say to Adam, don't eat from that tree. This is when you're going to be attested. Do not touch. Do not eat from that. And then God said, hey, this man is so good. He's so faithful. He's amazing, faithful, you know. And God said, well, I'm going to test this. And I'm going to give a helper to him. Test. And sometimes the people that come across your way, you don't like it, but sometimes they are helper, but you don't recognize that God is using them to test you. Hello? But God has put a lot of people, sometimes you say, okay, I don't like that, and you move to another place, go another job, and the same thing happens again. Why is this happening to me? Why always people bump me out? Why people always, you know? And God, there's a testing that we go through. So what are the tests that you've been going through? Let me tell you this. If somebody has a lot of friends, guess what kind of test God's going to test the person? The test of loneliness. If somebody has everything, and then they wonder, why God, when I became a Christian, suddenly, like, something happened. Well, God is testing about being in need, being in lack. And a lot of people don't understand that. But in every single test, God is looking at how much do we honor him, how much do we really stay faithful to him, and how do we serve him in the midst of that trial. Jesus went through many tests. The Bible says even he was a son of God, he learned to be obedient. And the Bible says that God disciplined those he loved. Testing is a lot of time is also God teaches the right thing. Because he loves us, because he cares for us. And I can tell you what, the time of testing is coming. You know how a lot of things happened in the days of Moses. There was a lot of testing. And there was a final test that Moses has to go through. The 40 years was, God was see what is in their heart. And 2010 was a year of being tested by the hand of God. And unfortunately, a lot of people do not understand what God is doing. They give up, they quit, too early, too soon, before the breakthrough coming in. How many of you, I know men cannot relate to this, but ladies, if you have give birth, you carry, you've been pregnant, and by the last 2 weeks before giving birth, you really felt like fed up, tired. I don't want that. You're screaming. You know what I'm saying? But this is the moment where in the spiritual family, there's a lot of time where there's a promises, there's a breaking through. And this is a time where you say, enough. I can't do that anymore. And you start screaming. And spiritual things, sometimes we do that. But we know there's a promise. And as soon that God gives birth to the promise in your life, the joy is going to be full. So if you're still going through that phase right now in your life, hold on. Hold on. You know why? Because you want to pass the test. If you don't, it's going to come back again. It's going to come. No matter where you move, it's going to come back. And one of the biggest tests that we're going to go through is the test of attitude. A lot of the time, you know what? All of us is being called. Like it or not, all of us is called to do ministry. The scripture said that God gave us a fivefold ministry to equip the saint for the work of ministry. To equip the body of Christ for the work of ministry. If you are the body of Christ, if you are, then you're equipped to do ministry. And if you're not, no matter where you go around, God is still waiting and waiting and waiting. And the amazing thing is this. How long can you run away from him, or how long can you postpone things of God in your life? Because God has all the time. The scriptures say one day is like 1,000 years. We don't have that infinite eternity in our side. What it took 40 days, God was planning for 40 days, take 40 years. But God wants to increase another measure as we understand his presence in our life. In some say that in his presence there's a fullness of joy. What I was asking God before I bring this message, or before I share this with you, is to confirm, and we were praying, and every single person were praying, even tonight, every single person were praying exactly on every single thing that the Holy Spirit had been telling me what to say. And that's why I want them to pray in this place, because you need to hear that. In the presence of God, there's a fullness of joy. How many know that? How many believe that? In his fullness, in his presence, there's fullness of love and peace. Is that true? Right. Now, let me ask you this. Is Jesus God? Yes, absolutely. But what happened in his presence when he walked on the earth? How many people feel the joy, the fullness of joy in his presence? How many people who listen to him feel the fullness of love of God in the presence of Jesus? How many people feel that fullness of peace in the presence of Jesus? They probably have experienced healing. They understand teaching. But how many have understand the kingdom of God in the life of Jesus is a fullness of joy, love, and peace? And the scriptures say that the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking. It's a matter of righteousness, peace, and joy. Actually, what happened in his presence? When every time, most every place where he go, there was a lot of things that doesn't reflect the kingdom of heaven. Everything he talk about, people argue, they dispute it, Some understand, some have more question. And it get worse sometimes because there was time when they persecute him. They want to stone him. They want to kill him. Why would someone want to kill joy? Why would someone want to kill peace and righteousness and love? And the scriptures say because they have not understood who Jesus is. The world have not received him. They do not understand who he is. And interestingly is, even if it's happened like 2,000 years ago, sometime it still happened in our days, in our lives, in our generation. People do not understand what God is saying. And they don't understand the fullness of joy. You can have peace with God in your life. Doesn't mean you have the peace of God in you. We may know that God loves us, but doesn't necessarily mean that we have the love of God in our life. But this is where God is going. Because God has given us the keys of the kingdom. And we have these three things: righteousness, peace and love, peace and joy. And these are the things that God wants to promote, I believe, in this year. I believe this year is going to be a lot of peace. You know the word peace? It's in the very, very heart of God. The mind of Christ, the scriptures say about having the mind of Christ, having the same attitude as Christ. There's another word in the Hebrew, we talk about the mind of Christ. It's also almost is the same meaning as the heart. So the mind and heart is almost the same in Hebrew word lev, L-E-V. So when we talk about the heart and the mind, it's also the same thing. But in the very heart, the very center, the core center of the heart of God is a tremendous peace. A peace that surpasses everything. A peace that can come upon us, like in Philippians chapter 4, that the peace of God will come upon us. And those who understand what God is doing, those who allow your spirit and the mind of Christ to come upon you, and your spirit with alignment with the Holy Spirit, is going to understand what God is saying, what God is doing. But that's not enough. Sometimes your spirit understand, hear what God is saying, but your soul can be screaming and yelling and rebelling against your spirit. Having the mind of Christ is having the fullness of peace inside of you as well. So when your spirit receive from the Holy Spirit, being led by the Spirit, your spirit now can speak to your soul. And your soul, the only thing that will respond to it, that connect from your spirit and your soul, is peace. If your spirit can release peace to your soul, then your soul will come with alignment with your spirit. And when these two become aligned, there's an explosion that happened in your life. That's when you know that not just your spirit, but everything in you is in Christ Jesus. And your body is going to react with that anointing of God's presence in your life, and things start to take place. Before we became Christian, the flesh ruled our lives. And the soul following, and the spirit have no rule at all. Because our spirit is dead. But when you became a Christian, When Jesus lives inside of you, suddenly that born again, that born of the Spirit, that Spirit suddenly just become alive in you. And the Bible says that the Spirit and the flesh, they're always fighting each other. Your soul is the middle piece, so your soul is going to be the one who's going to make things happen in your life. And a lot of time, your soul cannot make decisions because your flesh is doing this way and your spirit is saying this way. So you're fighting, what do I do, what do I do, what do I do? But when your spirit speaks peace, when when your spirit starts to bless your soul, and that's why reading the scriptures, understanding what God is doing, it brings a lot of peace. Understand the will of God in your life will bring a lot of things aligned with the things of God in your life. And next thing you know, that flesh of yours is going to be crucified. It's going to let go. It has no control. And the Bible says, those who are led by the Spirit of are sons and daughters. Amen. In Galatians 5, verse 22 say, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and then give it a couple of other things as well, goodness, faithfulness. The fruit of the Spirit, that's what it produces. Love, joy, and peace. And God wants you and I turn everything back to beginning again. All right, let's do that again. Love, joy, and peace. God wants his people to walk in his presence. And his presence is the fullness of joy, love, and peace. Amen? I don't want to do too many preaching tonight or teaching tonight, but I just feel like speaking to you. How many of you have been really been feel like there's a thing that God in you, there's a calling of God in your life, and it's almost like you're about to do it and then you've been back and forth, there's resistance, and there's a moment you want to do it, there's a moment you just run away, there's a moment you want to do it, and there's a moment you run away. You've been batting back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And a lot of time, this is a battle of the soul. And the more your soul is cleansed by your spirit, the more it's going to be easier running into the things of God. You understand what I'm saying? Amen? So how many of you feel like God has something for me, but I haven't stepped in there yet? I know there's something that I'm going to, it's need to be burst. It's need going to come in. I cannot keep running away, but sometimes, like, you know, like Jonah, I felt like, hey, time, it's enough. God says enough is enough. No more run away, right? And Jonah has make a covenant with God and, amen. So I feel like this year a lot of you is going to start stepping into this place, your covenant with God. And Jesus has given us poor portion of grace in our life. He gave us gift. As he ascended to heaven, he gave gift to man, and he divided them proportionally. And so you have received a measure of grace in your life to do what God called you to do. How many of you tonight, you say, I know what God called me to do, but I haven't done it yet. Anybody tonight? You know exactly what God's called you to do. And you say, God, I don't know, am I waiting? Am I still waiting on something? And I feel like all of us has been called to do something. All of us has a ministry to do, right? You know what, Jesus, why you have the fivefold ministry? The pastors, prophet, evangelist, teacher, and apostle. why God gave his fivefold ministry to the body. If God gave you a teacher to teach you, that means God wants you to become a teacher. If God gave you a prophet in your life, that means God wants you to learn to prophesy. If God gave you an evangelist, and if God, and you know, God makes things happen in your life. And if God has put a friend or someone in your life who's an evangelist, then God wants you to become an evangelist. Sometimes it's not difficult to understand, okay, what God are you calling me? Who has God has put on your path? If God put a pastor around you, then God called you into the pastoral ministry or pastoring people. Sometimes it doesn't mean that you're going to be in the front line of, but that's what God's called you. And as you've been faithful, as you honor this gifting and that calling of God in your life, and God's going to give more and add more and add more and add more. So who are your friends in the body of Christ? What do they look like? Are they prophets? Do you like to go with the people who always have this prophetic gifting and prophesy? Are you with the intercessors? Are you in the Bible study that you always want to dig and hear what the scriptures say and study the word? If that's what you like, that's what you enjoy, then God's calling you. But I believe that even this specific thing that God calls us, but God has called each one in the fivefold ministry. One day you're going to be a prophet. One day you're going to be an evangelist. One day you're going to be teaching. But there's maybe one which is going to be bigger than the other one. But that evidence is God calls us into each five areas in our life. And I tell you what, it is such a privilege to be called by God, because the Bible talks about make this calling worthy. That life that we live is a worthy when we respond to the calling of God in our lives. So we want to be able to say, people, we want to say, God has a place for you in the ministry, in the body of Christ, to move, to live. In him we live and move and have our being. You can go to work, you can become an evangelist. You can go to your neighbors, you can become a prophet. And sometimes you don't have to really, really like, sometimes it's just very simple. Jesus prophesied one day to this woman at the well, "Where's your husband?" That one little word, make a long story short, the Bible says that many Samaritans came to know Jesus in their life. And they asked him to stay. And he stayed. We need to stop running away. We need to start running towards him more and more. If God calls you into a worship ministry, in the singing ministry, that's what you call, I encourage you just to say, God, let it this year be a year that I'm going to be faithful. If you're going to test me, God, help me to understand. Let me pass it. I don't want to have another 2010. I want to be able to fulfill that. You know, 10 is commandment. The number 10 is about commandment. And God's been commanding a lot of things to us in 2010. Right? And sometimes, I start to look back myself in last week, actually, looking back, I said, God, look at me right now. What you've done in my life? I realized in January, I'm kind of doing my 28th anniversary of in the ministry. And God's been so faithful. Yes, there's been a lot of bump on the way. There's a lot of desert place, dry season, and yet there's a rainy season. But along all this time, God is putting things in front of me, testing. As you pass the test, God bump you up. You go and go and go, and there's nothing. There's another one. And sometimes the smaller test can become the biggest test of God in your life. Sometimes when you say, God, if that's what you asked me to do, but nobody see me, but God see you. But this is what you tell me. It's like, I want to be seen. I want to be known. I want to be, you know. But what you told me to do, God, nobody sees it. And the less, in the thing that God put you in, as long God see you doing it, and you've been faithful, and you're doing it for the right reason, that's when God starts to promote you. And I believe there's going to be a lot of promotion in 2011. How many of you like promotion? God gives gifts, and he never regrets it. Every time he gives us, he never looks back. How many single here tonight? You say, God, I want to get married. Don't put your hands up. I'm not going to call you to come forward. But if that is the desire of your prayer, God's going to test you with something. I've been tested for 10 years before God released my wife into my hand. 10 years. I started from 19 and I got married at 29. Testing for 10 years. Asking God, where, who, where, you know what I'm saying? But it's not where it is. Your calling is not a geographic location or place. Your calling is more 90% about the attitude of your heart. Where your heart is, that's where your treasure is. I have a feeling I'm talking to the right people tonight, but these people have been very quiet. And a lot of us, we've been asking, God, give us a bigger promotion, bigger one. And God, guess what? He gives you the little one. Little, faithful in the small thing, then God gives you the bigger thing. But God, I'm not asking the small one. I'm more the bigger one. All right? But one thing I want you to know, that everything God gives you to do, one day you're going to stand before him. You're going to answer. You're going to answer him one day. And that's why a lot of time God don't give him to us right away. He wait until we're ready to carry. That's why we go through the testing phase. Is that blowing of a nose? I hope so. Hallelujah. Thank God. We can laugh, and that thing make you laugh. I'm glad. Eh? Thank you, Jesus. Okay. In verse 16, say this. No, verse 12. It says, blessed is a man who persevere in the trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. One thing that makes you to pass it is because of your love for him. Nothing else. How much do you love him? Again, Corinthians 13, the greatest of all is love. Your love for God is going to be, that's the one thing that's going to make you to keep passing. Verse 16 say, don't be deceived, my dear brothers. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He choose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruit of all he create. God loves to give. We have a great, amazing, loving God. The last scriptures in the Bible talk about the presence of God is in Revelation. It says, in his presence, the earth and heaven will flee from his presence. How big and powerful is this God we serve? A lot of time we're asking for things that God sometimes are surprised. Say, okay, that's what you're asking for. That's what you want. And God said, well, let's see. Right? And God wants to give us everything. And he said, how much more if your earthly father gives you this thing, how much more the heavenly father will give you even more? That's the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we want to do a time of praying for you tonight. And those who say, God, I understand I have a covenant with you. The covenant, it's been from the beginning, from the foundation of this world. And this covenant is a blessing. You know, blessing, there's another word for blessing. It means peace. It means tremendous peace of God in your life. When God bless you, God will give you that so amazing peace to do anything. You will not be worried. You will not be fighting, rebelling. It's like this peace of God is going to be the one that's all over you that will lead you. And a lot of time we ask for blessing. We ask for blessing. God give us blessing. Right? Hallelujah. So we're going to ask you guys to, if you know that there's a time coming that you need to let go, taking this covenant, go one step further. There's a new beginning. There's a season of righteousness, peace, and joy to enter into your life. There's a season of God, you know what? You call me to carry this gospel. And I want to honor that. I want to respond to that. You understand this? We want to pray for you tonight. Amen. All right. Can I have a... Are we having a sound? Are we playing music for the ministry? Or you want to put a CD, guys? You want to come and play? Okay. So I want to ask you, this message for you, that God's starting a new thing in your life. I want to encourage you to come forward. We're going to pray for you. And ask God to give you this measure of grace to understand his calling in your life. And that you will be able to stand every test. And you know what the thing is this? God is so good that God is willing to do it again one more time. And do it again one more time. And he keeps saying, come on, you can do it. You can do it. This time, understand, you can do it. Don't turn back. Wait. Keep going. Pressing in. Can I have a couple of guys who want to be catchers, strong men, healthy? All right. I want to pray for you guys. Who are the catchers? Can I see your hand? Can you put your hands up? One, two. Can you come forward, please?
Oh, would you mind putting that
Can I have two more? Can I have two more catchers? Two guys. All right, we're going to start praying on this side and going down this way. And if you're standing behind someone, can you leave some room? Those who are standing in the front, just stand on the green light as much as possible. And if there's speakers there, I'm going to pray for you guys. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we lift up every single one here tonight. Every single person. And Father, we ask, Father, that your grace, your mercy is going to, Father, to give them a new beginning again, Father. New strength, new vision, new call, fresh love of God, a new passion for you. Deep and strong. Father, we lift up their spirit before you, God. But as we pray, Father, that your Holy Spirit will minister to their spirit. That their spirit will be able to receive from you, God. And let their spirit, I can minister to their soul. We bless your spirit as we pray for you, that you can speak to your soul and speak peace over yourself and minister. You are the high priest of God in your life. And we bless that calling. First is to minister to your soul, to yourself. We just speak peace, Father. Peace in the very heart of men and women tonight. Go deeper. Go in that center. Peace, Father. We bless you with the mind of Christ. Having the same mind of Christ. The same attitude of Christ toward one another. Bless you with the love of God over you. Father, let the fullness of love, the fullness of love, Father, come. Overflow them, Father. Let your presence come and take over. Wow, Shandai. Joy, Father, joy renewing your strength. Let the joy of the Lord renew your strength. Yes, Father. What has been difficult, Father, you're going to make it easy, God. You're going to make it so easy because the anointing of God breaks every yoke. And Father, we command every yoke to be broken. Father, let that anointing, Father, increase in her life. Increase in her life. Whatever call you, whatever's been around you, whatever ministry God has put around you, I bless you and I release you to find that place. Reaching out. Holy Spirit, fire God. Fill up. Glory, God. Joy. I just feel the love of God over you. The love of God over you. Love of God. Even you know God is love. I bless you to step into that love of God. So strong. Not for temporary, not for moment. But it will last all the days of your life. Wow, walk in righteousness. Hallelujah.